Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very, very senior and accomplished, a well-recognized professional from Philadelphia, USA, Mr. David Steinberg. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. David is the 2018 Nobel Peace Prize nominee by the International Writers and Artists Association. He's a recipient of the 2019 Changemaker Award granted by the NJ League of Conservation Waters. He's a recipient of the 2020 Collaboration Award as Strike County Sustainability Chair, Towns Helping Towns Committees. He's a 2021 Certified Community Heart and Soul Coach. And he's an award-winning writer and poet and an award-winning environmental activist. So, David, you seem to have done so many different things in your life. Let me start by asking you, tell me a little bit about your own background and how you became involved in writing and in advocacy for peace.
Okay. A little bit about my background. Mm-hmm. Back in 1980, 43 years ago, I had just split up with my wife and was living in a rooming house. And I met a fellow across the hall who asked me to share some poetry. Mm-hmm. And we did. We liked that. We invited some other people. And the next thing you know, we started a group called the Society for Poets of mm-hmm. Southern New Jersey. And we're still going strong after 43 years.
Wow.
So it's been quite an interesting thing there, because at the time I was not the kind of person to get in front of an audience, and all of a sudden I was in front of an audience and they wanted me to start reading poetry, and I said to myself, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? So somehow I struggled through it and got a little better and a little better as far as reading and writing poetry. And the group is still around, now one of the oldest poetry groups in the state of New Jersey.
Wow. So let's talk a little bit about now the Nobel Peace Prize that you were nominated for. How did you feel when you found out about your nomination for the Nobel Peace Prize in 2018?
I'm glad there was a ceiling on the roof of my house because I was floating for days and even for weeks.
Okay.
It never, ever occurred to me. And it was not something that I saw it. It's just simply something that happened.
Right.
There were two aspects of that, the reason why I got nominated. The first one is that I had met a young lady through the poetry group from Iraq. She was a refugee from Iraq. Mm-hmm. And I found out that she later was one of the most prolific Middle Eastern female writers ever to come out of the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And we partnered in a group called, we called ourselves a Muslim woman and a Jewish man reading poetry and hosting a discussion on peace.
Right.
She translated my works into nine countries into Arabic. Mm-hmm. One day she came to me and she said, I have a friend of mine who would like to publish your poem, My Enemy in the Mirror, in Gaza. Mm-hmm. And it was not published in Gaza when I thought it was, because the war with Israel broke out.
Yeah.
But it was published 6 months later. Mm. So I became the first Jewish writer ever to become published in Gaza.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Can you also, David, share some of your most memorable experiences as a peace activist and a writer?
Yes, I'll be glad to. I can think of two of them. Number one, the very first group that the young lady, her name is Falia Hassan, the very first group that we went to, we encountered, after the meeting, I had a minister walk up to me, and he said, I served time in Iraq during the war. I assumed he was with the military at the time. Mm-hmm. And he said, I had a very unhappy experience there. But somehow something happened to me that I feel as though a healing has taken place. And he said, I've never experienced this in my entire life. And I figured, wow, this is really something interesting. That was the first one. The second one was up in Princeton, Princeton. And I was there for a peace group that was celebrating the 73rd anniversary of the atomic bombing of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And I created a poem for that occasion. There was a substantial audience right outside the Princeton Library. And that was also a very, very memorable occasion for me as well, because the poem was basically to highlight what happened just prior to, immediately prior to, and of course, we know what happened afterwards.
Amazing.
Very powerful, moving experience for me to participate.
Fascinating. And, you know, given the fact that you were the first Jewish writer to be published in Gaza, I'd love to get some of your perspectives. And what are some of the biggest challenges facing the world today in terms of achieving peace? And what do you think can be done to address these challenges?
One of the biggest challenges is not to blame the other person for your feelings. Because I believe that if that you create your own enemies and you create your own friends. So therefore, it's like looking in the mirror, part of what my poem is about, looking in the mirror and seeing the reflection of not your physical reflection, but your spiritual reflection, who you are inside and what kind of an individual are you and what can you do to change. As far as what the world, as far as what the world can do, peace starts within. So if there's peace inside of you, there's peace in the family, peace in the neighborhood, peace in the state, in the nation, in the world. But it all starts with you.
And what in your opinion is are some of the reasons why, even though the common people like you and I want peace, at the political or the political leadership level, there continues to be some kind of dissonance?
It's very easy to blame someone else for your problems and your issues.
Well said.
And it's reflection of who you are, because this is what you're projecting outward. Where there is discord, there's discord inside. Where there's peace inside.
Very interesting. My next question to you is, how do you believe literature and the arts can contribute to promoting peace and understanding between different cultures and societies?
Well, I believe that if we fight, we can fight with our words. We can disagree with our words. We can disagree violently. We can disagree peacefully. I happen to believe in finding out what other people's opinions are. It may be very different than mine, but I want to know what brought them into what, why they think the way they do, why they feel the way they do, because that's important for me to internally interpret what they're saying in terms that I can understand. Even though we may have an opposite opinion, by taking that little extra step, I find that I can get along with almost anybody.
Correct. Correct. And in your opinion, what role should governments and international organizations play in promoting peace and resolving conflicts?
Oh, boy. I'm afraid this is above my pay grade. I would love to be able to offer an opinion, but that would simply be an opinion and not someone that would agree with me. They may disagree and they may have a different opinion, which is their right. I don't want to get into a situation like that.
Sure, we'll drop this question then.
Okay, thank you.
Can you also talk about any current or upcoming projects you are working on relating to peace and conflict resolution?
Yes, I've adjusted some of my activities to the environmental field, and I've been extremely active for the last 5 years or so in a number of issues that affects not only the town which I live in, but the region, as well as the country. as well. And I'm fighting incinerators that are polluting the air and the land. I'm fighting liquefied natural gas, which is liquid methane, being transported by train through heavily populated areas for shipping overseas to Europe. And there are a number of other smaller little projects that I'm working with as well. I believe I've encountered many, many other people who feel the same way. And I feel we're making a difference. And can it work toward peace? Yes, it can, because it can help to eliminate differences between people and can help the environment, and we can all flourish that way.
And, you know, you, David, you had mentioned a few minutes ago about how important it is for peace to start from within each one of us.
Yes.
My question is, how can individuals and communities get involved in promoting peace and making a positive difference in the world?
One thing that I found here in America, because this is what I'm familiar with, is that we don't really take the time to listen to each other. We want to give our opinion and sometimes talk over other people as well. So I would say a little bit of patience. Try to understand things from the other person's standpoint. You may disagree, and that's okay. But at least you have a better understanding. When there's understanding, there's a connection. And where there's a connection, then that can ease stress between people and help to promote peace.
Interesting. I have time for two or three more questions. My next question is that what message would you like to share with our listeners about the importance of working towards a more peaceful and just world?
Find the peace within yourself. And then from you, peace will flow. Many years ago, I wrote a poem to a friend who really wasn't practicing what he was preaching. So I came up with this little excerpt from a poem I wrote. Well, practice what you preach. Live by what you teach. Your example will be heard louder than your word. And I've used that as my own mantra many times, because there are many times I do not practice what I preach. I admit it. I'm human like everybody else. But there are times when I realize that I'm not doing that, and that's my signal to myself to get back into that mode, because I can set an example for others to follow simply by practicing it. I don't have to preach it.
Very interesting. So let me now move to your other avatar as a poet and a writer. You've spoken about one poem when we were talking about peace, but tell me a little more about some of your writings.
Well, many of my writings, a lot of it has to do with poetry. I've written a total of 21 books. I would say half of them, 11 of them to be exact, are poetry books. And some others are small little books. They're, I call the small book of forgiveness, for example, telepathy, dreams, et cetera, et cetera. There's some financial books in there as well, saving money and so on and so forth. These are the kind of things that I've learned. And one of the things that I do is I write down things whenever I think about them. And if it makes sense, then I'll write something about that. And if that makes more sense, it'll end up being into a book.
And what advice would you give to aspiring writers and poets who want to use their talents to make a difference in the world?
First of all, believe in yourself, because you have talents. You may be at the beginning of your talents, but believe in yourself. But believe that you can do it. Do not let anyone stand in the way of what you believe. If someone says your writing is not good, then keep writing, because like anything else, you can certainly improve with that. When I was in my early 20s, I was working for a company which my boss said my letter writing was terrible. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to write letters. He said, you know, what did you teach? What did you learn in school? So since then, I practiced my writing, and I consider myself to be a very, very good writer these days, but it took a lot of practice. I didn't believe what he had to say. I worked on the area of improving it and constantly
That's
improving it
admirable.
even to this day.
And as the old saying goes, practice makes perfect, you see. So
Perfect practice makes perfect.
absolutely. And my last question to you, David, and this is for the thousands of people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your own incredible journey and a very successful journey, both as a writer, as an author, as an activist, what would you say are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away?
Three lessons. Interesting. Okay, the first lesson I would have, I would encourage people to believe in themselves, and coming back to that, I said it a few moments ago, that they can make a difference. One person can change the whole world. We know of this of people that we read about. So what why not you? And your different the difference in the world you might make is a very small difference.
Correct.
Nevertheless, it's an important difference because you're, as a human species, we're all interrelated, and you and I have an interrelationship. We've just come to know each other at this junction,
Correct.
and you will go your way, and I will go my way. Each of us, I trust, will be better than before we met.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then we will go out and we will take a little bit of what we have here, what we gain together, and pass that along. Every interaction has value. Every person has value. And it's really, really important for us to be able to dig down deep within ourselves to be able to make that connection. It's not as though, today's younger people are very much into electronics. And so the personal contact is not there, but it still is very valuable
Correct.
because it enables us to bridge gaps that we feel are within ourselves. So I would say that those are some of the things that people can certainly do in their own lives to be able to move forward. When I was a young person, I looked for role models. There were some in almost every field of endeavor that I ever encountered. And I tried to get something from each one of them to be able to use myself. Of course, I made it my own. I still remember some of the teachers that I had many, many years ago, but their teachings have taken on a life of their own because they've grown within me because I've used them as a role model.
Correct.
And
Correct.
I believe this can help a lot of young people as well.
Well said. And on that note, David, thank you so much for speaking to me. I loved, the intensity with which you have spoken about so many different aspects of peace, of poetry, of activism. And I loved your lessons, which is believe in yourselves and look for role models. Thank you for speaking to me and good luck to you.
It is a pleasure, and thank you. And I will say to you, Sadhguru Nath Maharaj Ki Jai.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.